can...
Who slips on a banana peel?
Right. This is what I'm saying. If the thing is intelligent, it would surely walk around with looks like 2-3 dozen banana peels. Why would you even go near that? Like, is that how we're going to get over robots in the future? Like, Skynet's going to happen. It's going to be the Terminator. But no problem, Katie. I've got a banana peel.
Yeah, we're going to be in our bunkers underground, quickly eating the bananas and stockpiling
and throwing them out.
The peel.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so Katie's going to kick off today with some cinema news. Cinema Cinema is the band that is delightfully offered to let us use their music. You hear it at the beginning of the show and at the end of the show.
Right, and you may have heard them. They have been guests on our show before, and it was high time for them to come back again.
Yes, but they're blowing up huge.
They're blowing up huge. They couldn't come in today, so we're really sad about that, but we're trying to work out a date together. They're getting ready for their European tour.
So they just did a tour last year as well, right? Last summer, which you saw a little bit of.
I saw, that's when they toured with Black Flag.
Okay.
And that's what I saw.
You moshed briefly.
I moshed briefly and then stood to the side. But that, yeah, they went on tour with Black Flag, and they were just amazing. They were awesome. I saw them, I was on a business trip and I went to Tennessee. And I was able to tag that onto my...
Just throw a fist in to the mosh pit. I still don't, I was discussing mosh pits with somebody, I still don't get it. Like, you just get in and you just throw yourselves into each other,
yes.
Are there rules?
I don't know, but I didn't care for it when I did it many, many years ago, because I got into the mosh pit and my shirt tore.
Oh,
my
wow.
sleeve. And I was just like...
Now it's turned into something else.
I was like, this is personal.
Did you punch someone afterwards? Was there some broad in there with half a shirt on clocking everybody? Sucker punching people.
So I guess it's the kind of thing that if you don't know how to dance, then you just smash into people.
I
don't know.
Who knows?
Well, it's
anyway,
okay. So there are Cinema Cinema who is awesome. They're amazing. Yeah. They're two guys. You think that there's 30 of them.
I still, when I listen to their music, I'm still having a hard time knowing that it's just two dudes.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a full on, you know, like 3, 4, 5 guys.
Okay. Right, right. It's just the two of them. And they are going to be going to Austria and Germany in August. And so it's like... between like August 20th, they're going to be in Austria. August 24th and 25th, they're going to be in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
26th in Germany, and then the 27th, they're going to be in Vienna, Austria. And I was like, wait a minute. On the 26th, they're going to be in Hamburg, Germany. Mm-hmm. The next day, they're going to be in Vienna, Austria. And I was like, are they going to drive there? And I was like, what's the distance between the?
I don't know.
Between the two, I looked it up. It is 9 hours and 12 minutes.
Are you serious?
To drive. Yeah.
In my mind, I was thinking maybe they're just like a couple hours from each other. Because in my mind, Europe is like tiny.
Yeah.
And you can zip from place to place. But they're going to rush nine. So they're going to come off stage, drive themselves off.
Yeah.
Like get an hour of sleep and then zip back.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This one festival they're going to play at, it's August 27th. It's the Gödel Nightwalk Festival.
Gödel Nightwalk.
I was like,
I don't know her. Never met her. Gödel Nightwalk?
And it says here, this
Germany don't play.
This is Austria.
Oh, Austria.
They're not playing real Germans. They say, I got this from, it's been going on for like 15, 18 years.
Okay,
now.
So this is like this a is thing, Coachella kind of thing
it's
or something?
This street with a lot of bars on it, I guess, and they close down the street and then they have a lot of live music
That's
playing.
Cool.
And it's just one night, there's no traffic, it's all people.
I have to say, I like that a lot more than what I see on the festivals that are happening in the U.S. Was that you go out like into the desert where there's like a porta potty and like anger. And you're just out there in the middle of nowhere. This is cool because you're in a city. It's just pedestrianized area. There's bars. And I'm assuming you just go from like bar to bar and check out the live shows, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, no, they're all outside. But if there's rain, then some of the bars will let the
play inside. Oh, that's even more cool.
Right. And it says here, if you would like to enjoy live music in Vienna, make sure to mark the day of August 25th August 27th. Because at that night, the pubs and bars along Vienna's well-known ring road called Gödel will offer... all amount of it through the whole night.
Really? It sounds so formal. Like, I imagine it's going to be like Baroque and like quartets and things like that.
I don't know. It's all kinds of music. There's a lot of local bands, I believe, that are playing.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how they got into this. Well, maybe because when they were abroad before, people were really into them and they got booked again.
Yeah. So, probably. They have 16 open-air stages.
Wow. Right? That's cool.
And many of the bands of the local alternative music scene will play with free admission.
Nice.
So this is really great. They are awesome. And tonight, actually, is the day that we're recording this.
Yeah, it'll be too late.
It'll be too late now.
If you've got a time machine, fire it up.
Yeah, and go over to Fat Baby.
Yeah, go over something called Fat Baby.
It's like a bar somewhere on the Lower East Side. Fat Baby. And they're playing tonight. And I actually wanted to go. And then I looked up what time. I was like, what time are they going on?
Not your business.
Not my business.
Just Fat Baby.
Just go to Fat Baby. And
yeah,
just
don't worry about it. Hang out at Fat Baby. Now I kind of want to go to Fat Baby just because I like the name.
Yeah.
There's a place I know on the Lower East Side called Old Man Hustle. I wonder if that's nearby. It's like from cradle to grave. Fat Baby to Old Man Hustle.
Oh, man. Yeah. Do that in one night?
Yeah.
It'll give you emotional problems.
Exactly. So. Like 70 years of bar hopping.
Yeah. So, anyway, so if you're in the area, if you're in Germany.
And we know we have Austria. German listeners. What's up?
Yeah, hey.
Out there to the Rhineland.
Yeah. Go see Cinema Cinema. And go check out their website, cinemacinemaband.com, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's cinemacinemaband.com.
Yeah. And, yeah, check them out. You can see what other tour dates they have. And I think they have other music and stuff that they're selling. So.
Well, I just like to say, speaking of music, a friend of mine got 2 free tickets to see The Cure last Sunday.
Get out.
So we went, and I didn't know I was a huge Cure fan.
Did you? And you didn't even tell me this.
We haven't talked.
Yeah.
This was just a random thing. And at first when she was like, oh, I got free tickets to see The Cure. And I'm like, oh, man, it's going to be like Elderfest up in that piece. Like, oh, I'm just going to see The Cure. You know, I was like, ah, whatever. It's at Madison Square Gardens, which is not my favorite place. But so I get there to the concert, and everyone is so nice, because now everyone's old.
Yeah.
So everyone's still wearing all black.
Yeah.
It's still kind of like goth. It's like goth residue is still on people.
Yeah.
Some people were there with their teens, which was funny, because the teens were like, not into it.
Yeah.
Because they don't know the music.
Yeah.
But then there were also a lot of people in their 20s who were like,
were they like emo kids, too?
No. They were emo parents with like, you know, a kid looked like Chad. The kid was just like, okay. Oh, I got to go to some alt concert from the 19th century or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get there. They start playing the music. I know the words to every single song. And I couldn't figure out why, because I've never bought a Cure album.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a Cure fan. But when I was in boarding school, my roommate at the time, Jenny, listened to The Cure nonstop.
Jenny!
So I must have picked it all up. Because you know, I don't know the lyrics to anything. I don't know the lyrics to songs I like. Like, I screw up every lyric. Right. I knew every single song to The Cure. So I guess I'm a Cure fan.
You are a Cure fan.
Or did you listen to The Cure?
I didn't own any music, but I knew a lot of the Cure songs. And
they were on the radio a lot.
They were on the radio. And they were, I think there was one video that was going around for a while. I forget.
It was when he's like in a cave or something.
It's like, Friday, I'm in love.
Yeah. That's when the hardcore Cure fans got upset because apparently he fell in love with some woman and they had a good relationship.
Yeah.
And he put out a happy album.
And they're like,
and people were like,
you?
F this.
Yeah.
We want the old stuff where you're like crawling around in the cave.
Yeah, and you're
about
suffering.
Spiders. Yeah, you're suffering and there's a flute. But he was Robert Smith, the guy who's the lead singer of The Cure. He's the only original Cure member there.
Oh,
left. Wow. They had other musicians. And it was funny because usually when you see older bands, the musicians are younger. No, there was a guy who looked like Father Time up there. And he was rocking out hard.
Really?
So Robert Smith obviously looks a lot different, but sounds exactly the same.
Really?
Exactly
good for him.
The same.
Good
so
for
he
him.
Took care of his voice.
Yes.
You know, he didn't get crazy with it.
Yeah.
And he gave an amazing performance. He didn't say anything. It was 3 hours long. He just came out. Thank you, New York, blah, blah, blah. Right into music,
that's
right into music.
Want.
And at the end, thank you again. It was a great concert. So it was pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. I'm jealous. Well, I'm envious.
I guess if you, when we thought about it afterwards, as a performer, like, that guy's been performing for decades.
Yeah.
It should be a good concert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he knows what he's doing. He's not scared.
Yeah.
He's just going to come out there and do his thing. But 3 hours?
Wow.
I was pretty happy about it.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. God. And it was, you know, free.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw while I was there, there were tickets for Sting and, like, Peter Gabriel. And those are probably, like, $1,000 for, like, the nosebleeds.
Oh, my God.
That's too much.
That's offensive.
That's why I feel like now that we're getting older, like, there are bands that I want to see. First of all, I wish I had a time machine to go back and see Sting when I wanted to see Sting. And now I just don't want to pay $500.
Right.
To see Sting.
No. And people will, though.
People will. Because people are older.
Yeah.
A young person doesn't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
Hope, you know.
Well, that's also the nice thing about being older and going to concerts because everyone behaves themselves. Nobody's jumping around punching people.
No. people were swaying. There was dancing, but it was like control.
Yeah.
Like, no, one person yelled like, yeah, like one time. One time. And we were like, oh, man, bring this back. Take this back.
Yeah.
And then we went on with our business. Well, the funniest thing, there were a couple of people there who looked like stereotypical Jersey Shore people.
Mm-hmm.
They were the hardest core fans of The Cure I'd ever seen. Like, they knew every beat, every note, like, every... It was bizarre.
It was
literally, like, The Situation.
Because that music was in dance clubs. And that's my Italian people. We were all in the clubs. That's
I didn't think about that.
We did in the 80s and 90s. We all went dancing.
And there were remixes dancing. For The Cure. Now I remember about that, too. These guys were in... They were fist pumping.
And they kept you dancing. I mean, those DJs knew how to play their songs in a sequence.
You gotta work calves.
No, but you had to do your moves. And that's... Italian guys like to dance.
True.
They really do. And they'll get out there and do
I appreciate
their
it.
Stuff. And not just fist bumps.
No.
They have moves. They have real moves.
These guys, I'm just saying fist bumps because that's all you can do at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really bust a move.
Yeah.
When you're in, like, row 20 or whatever. Yeah. But I was just really surprised to see the diversity of the fan base for The Cure. I don't know. So what do you have?
Okay, well, let's talk more about music.
Oh, you have more music stuff?
I have more music stuff. Okay. Yeah, this is about Led Zeppelin.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I heard about this. Okay,
now,
bring it down.
I read about this about a year ago, and I wanted to see how it would play out. I almost talked about it
on
the show.
So you knew about it when they first started.
Right, yeah. This was about the song Stairway to Heaven.
Mm-hmm, which we all know.
We all know. And there is another band called, what's the band's name?
The song's name. No one even knows this band.
Right. It is Spirit. The name of the band.
Spirit?
No, Spirit.
Okay.
S-P-I-R-I-T. Spirit.
Okay.
Spirit.
I was thinking like Esprit.
Oh, yeah. No, I was trying to find the name of it, and I was stammering.
Like Esperanto?
No. The band's name, they say 1960s psychedelic band, Spirit, had a song called Taurus.
Okay.
And
of course they did.
It was an instrumental ballad, and it was released 4 years prior to Stairway to Heaven, and it sounds... identical to the opening.
Yeah, I heard it. They
really
played
does.
It on WFUV was talking about. So they played the Led Zeppelin thing, which I knew. And then they played this band. And I was like, it does sound
it
the same.
It sounds the same. But, and so they were suing Led Zeppelin. They're like,
now?
Yeah.
So when did the suit start? About a year ago when you first heard of it?
Right.
In the 60s?
No, the suit.
It's a bit late now.
I know.
How old are those guys?
Well, you know what? You know why? I mean, it's worth diving into because that song... Stairway to Heaven has earned more than $562 million in publishing royalties.
Wow.
So if you got a piece of that, that you took my song,
and
you get it, that's a
huge amount, but it's just like, it's been 30, 40 years?
I know, but this has been a thing that has, people have known for a long time. So, but no action had been taken.
Okay. So finally Spirit woke up and was like, we need to get a piece of this.
Right.
But I got dancers and grandkids.
So they went to court.
Okay.
And so they tried to introduce evidence that...
an awesome case.
All right. Jimmy Page and Robert Plant had to go to court. So can you imagine being on the jury?
People were fighting to get on that jury.
Robert Plant comes in.
That was my first concert, by the way. Robert Plant, now in Zen.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they put Jimmy Page and Robert Plant on the stand.
Did people applaud when they came in? Was air guitar where people were like,
I would have died.
I don't know what I would have done. I would have been like, they're not guilty.
I'm imagining the jury stand, like, all like, not guilty, lighters.
Yeah. Free bird.
But when Robert Plant got up there, they asked him to describe in detail writing Stairway to Heaven.
Really?
Yes. And he was like, he and Jimmy Page were at a countryside retreat in Hampshire, England in 1971.
Okay.
And he told the court that Jimmy Page was playing some music by the fire, and he offered a couplet to go with it as a lyric.
Here, I've got a couplet.
Now, remember, I want you to think 1971,
true,
Robert Plant.
And like flares.
And they had, now remember, it's like these tight, tight jeans. You could see everything.
Yeah, there's no mystery.
I have a DVD of Led Zeppelin in concert, and I'm like, oh.
I know.
Boy.
You like to fish the mic out of your pants there, my friend.
Yeah. And so the shirt, a totally open shirt, long hair, and then just like, you know, being Led Zeppelin as they are. So can you imagine those two guys hanging out by the fire?
chilling.
That was my Stairway to Heaven, everyone. I've got a couplet to go with that.
I just came up with
that sweet ballad that you're playing.
That sweet ballad.
So then he recited what became the well-known opening line to the hit song. There's a lady who knows all that glitters is gold.
Okay. That's all
and
I know.
She's buying a stairway to heaven.
Okay.
And
which I always thought it was winding a staircase to heaven. Like, I'm the worst. This is what I'm saying. That's why I'm surprised I need the cure. Yeah. She's winding a staircase. Why not? It's trippy, right? That's what I was thinking as a kid.
So they asked if they knew about Spirit. They're like, didn't know them then, don't know them now.
Yeah, never heard of her. Yeah. I was out of town that weekend. Couldn't have been me.
I would have loved to be there.
Just to follow up on that, so on FUV, they played Stairway to Heaven, then they played the Spirit song, which sounds exactly like it. Then they found a song from the medieval ages that sounds exactly like it.
Oh my God.
So I don't know how they did that, but it's like, so the idea is like, this is a melody that has been around throughout history.
It is a medieval thing. And you know how, I don't know what it is with these groups that they love their like medieval references and other literary references. They're like mythology. You got the Flight of Icarus and who is it? Who sings the Flight of Icarus?
It's like this prog rock, you know, I feel like the Jethro Tull, like all that kind of weird stuff. But I mean, if these guys are really, really into music, it's kind of like rappers today. Mm-hmm. They're really new, so they may be reaching way back and finding things from other cultures, you know, other time periods that really stick with them. But I think there's actually just some melodies that just keep going.
Yes.
That have been around forever.
Yeah, they resonate for some reason. But these guys, and they write the songs, you know, about mythology, about Lord of the Rings. They talk about Mordor, like Led Zeppelin talks about Mordor.
Yes. Hey. It's all there, man.
And it's like...
it's the 70s.
Yeah, but it was... cosplay wasn't a thing. Nobody...
Not that we know of. But who knows what these guys were wearing at their retreat?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they all had kind of like these Prince Valiant haircuts. Like, who knows? Velvet.
Yeah. I'm sure there was velvet involved.
You know, a lot of cording.
Yeah. And tassels.
Yeah, things that you just don't need in clothing in the 70s were added to it. That's cool.
Yeah, so Led Zeppelin won. Of course they won.
Did they throw the guys a little something?
I don't
know. Or
were
they like,
No.
They thumbed their noses at them.
If they probably just smiled at them as they walked out of the courtroom.
Peace. Wow. Boy. Spirit. So are people looking into Spirit now? Like, are they getting a resurgence? They should try to release an album or something and be like, hey, listen to us.
Yeah, we should.
Capitalize on it.
Right.
Or I'm going to look them up.
Release Taurus. That's the song.
Release Taurus. Release the Taurus.
Yes.
I like it. So I've got a little here, some booze news.
All right.
So, wine for cats.
Oh.
So before, I always like to do my research on these ridiculous stories. So apparently someone in the United States has come up with a wine. It's not alcoholic. It's this guy called Brandon Zavala. It's a cat wine. It started off as a funny pun, and apparently Jimmy Fallon mentioned it, so now it's a real thing. And they're also going to be at CatCon, which is this weekend in Los Angeles. CatCon is a cat convention for cat lovers.
Okay.
With all things cat. So they were, the names of the wine are Pinot Meow and Moscato, which sounds terrible.
That does.
Moscato.
That sounds awful.
It's a Denver-based business. So it's not alcoholic, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But it's for people who want to enjoy a glass of wine with their cat. It's a blend of organic catnip and beets.
And beets.
So it said it took about 6 months to perfect the recipe. I would love to have seen these cats who were like, you know what? No, too dry for my palate.
Yeah, right. Like, turning up their nose.
Yeah.
As you call these legs.
Yeah, you call these legs. Is this a varietal that I'm familiar with? So they came out, the earlier blends, they said they came out too dark. For who? The cats?
Well, do the cats
take issue with the color of the wine?
Imagine your cat has a goblet of wine and it's like blood red. That's scary.
I mean, I don't understand a goblet for a cat. Like, how is he holds this in his little paw? What's going on? It's like a cat chalice. So it says there's an online article was about wine for kitties that went viral and now they're back ordered. So they're talking about like this. The guy who came up with it is he's a veteran in the pet food industry. Whatever that is.
medals and badges.
He said it's never-ending stress. It's a lot of work, always coming up with new things.
Okay.
He said a cat's reaction to the blends are mostly positive, but some cats don't like it, of course, because they're cats. And cats will scoff at anything. I imagine a cat knocking over, like, one of these cat rosés or whatever onto a white carpet, like, bitch, please.
Yeah.
This is what you give me. But also,
vintage.
Because there's catnip in it, the cats do get a little drunk.
Yeah.
And then start running around. So this guy came up with a new cat wine thing. But I did some research, and in Japan in 2013, they already had it.
See?
They came up with their own. It's called Nian Nian Nouveau.
Say it again.
Nian Nian Nouveau. All right. Nian Nian is meow in Japan, in Japanese.
The cats say Nian Nian?
They don't say meow. They say Nian Nian.
Okay.
And it's a Nian Nian Nouveau, wine exclusively for cats. And there's a picture of a cat having his paw on the bottle. Looks quite happy. And it's a fake Beaujolais. It's made from Cabernet grapes. Mm-hmm. They've added vitamin C to keep the cat healthy.
Oh.
And then catnip. And it supposedly tastes like wine.
How much can they drink?
It doesn't say.
Is it unlimited?
I don't think there's a cutoff for cats. Like two glasses and you're done.
I'm taking away this piece of string from you. Yes.
You're over the limit.
Right.
They only made 1,000 bottles of it. It was more kind of like a novelty thing.
Yeah.
But just the idea that people want to, we both enjoy drinking wine.
Sure.
But I don't need to have a glass of wine with my pet. And this falls under the category of cats might be God, because now we're trying to develop bar
ways to a piece, but this is more for the people who sit home alone with their cats
now. But what about those cat cafes? What if they turn into cat bars later? And you see people, the cat lovers are out there, the cat's there, there's a menu for the cat, there's no end to where this could go. Cats might be God. Eventually, I imagine that there will be cat cafes where humans are not even welcome. You just have to, put the food through a little, conveyor.
And then hopefully you stand outside till they're ready to leave.
Yeah, yeah. Or the cat sends it back.
Yeah.
With an angry paw print, please.
Now, can humans drink this?
Yeah, humans can drink it. I don't think it's going to be very good. I mean, the one in the U.S. one is beets and catnip.
All right.
Not interested. And the one from Japan is actually made from grapes. But also vitamin C and catnip.
Okay. And so, vitamin C.
Yeah,
see?
Wine for cats. They said they're trying to develop something for dogs, but they think a dog would prefer a beer.
Oh.
But they did float the name of their Sauvignon Bark. Which I think is pretty funny. Yeah. I don't know this. Whenever I see food and drinks for animals, it's obviously marketed at very sad people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but right? See, the idea that they're making these cats go through the process of forcing them to taste this wine over and over again, and how do they evaluate it?
Right.
What if the cat was like, it tastes like crap, but I'm just thirsty.
Yeah.
Or I have a problem, I can't stop.
Yeah.
There's catnip in it.
That's what I was gonna say. So of course they're gonna go after.
Why not just some catnip in water? I don't know. So, booze news. What do you have?
I have advice.
Oh, cool. So, advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. Hence, advice on advice.
Yeah. This is Miss Manners.
All right, awesome. Old school.
Yeah, her name is really Judith Martin. She's 77.
Wow. Judith is such a 77-year-old woman's name.
Yeah. I was looking at reading the advice, but I also looked at a little bit of her profile, and they have a couple of quotes from her.
Okay.
And her quotes are, "It is far more impressive when others discover your good qualities without your help."
Okay. I can't wait sometimes though. I gotta let people know right away. Time is short.
Chaperones don't enforce morality. They force immorality to be discreet.
Nice. I like that.
Isn't that great?
Chaperone. I haven't heard that word forever.
Chaperones don't enforce morality. They force immorality to be discreet.
Oh my God. I've always wanted to, ever since I was a teacher, I've always wanted to chaperone a middle school prom.
Yeah.
I thought that would be hilarious.
Oh, man.
I still want to go to one so I can see the awkward dancing.
Oh, I would love that,
and just
too.
The weirdness, the whole thing that goes down, the whole scene of what's happening.
Right, because they're just learning this game, and they're so just overt.
And no
everything.
One's told them what to do.
Yeah.
No one told us. We all showed up at junior high dances okay, well, all the girls are over here, so I'll just go over here.
Yeah.
But I see a guy friend over there. Don't go over there.
Yeah.
Stay over here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know you have to wear a dress.
Yeah.
And you know that there's going to be music and dancing. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to dance
You're
with
not
each other.
Sure what to do.
Yeah.
Because there's no alcohol to lubricate the situation.
Right.
So you're just standing around like assholes.
Right.
trying to figure it out.
And then the guys are having a burping contest in the corner.
Yes. Someone's making fart noises with their hands.
Yeah.
Then there's one kid, like maybe he's from abroad or from another part of the country. He starts dancing. I was like, no.
He's like, what are you
doing? What are you
doing?
You've broken the line. Okay. So
anyway, here's some, this is on to Miss Manners again with her advice.
Enough of us.
Yes.
On to the real work.
Yes. Dear Miss Manners. In a small movie theater at the end of the show, a couple sitting two seats away from me asked if I enjoyed the movie.
Okay.
I smiled and said yes, very much so. And they proceeded to tell me in front of others that I had completely ruined it for them because of my noisy popcorn chewing.
Wow. And how did they say it? Did they say it nicely like, so did you enjoy that?
Yeah, and she was like, thought they were just talking to her.
That's the best. You can't. Some people you can't insult.
And they, and they hadn't been able to hear a thing. I apologized and said that they should have told me sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I was horribly mortified and upset. And when I ran into them in the lobby on the way out, I explained that I'm the sole caregiver of my disabled husband and I'm able to get to a movie twice a year at best. And if it was any consolation to them, they had also now completely ruined the experience for me.
What? God, they weren't coming at you like that, lady. They were just saying they couldn't hear the friggin' movie and they're being passive-aggressive about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I again said they should have said something sooner and walked away before giving them a chance to reply. Is there any way this could have been handled better by either party? I also don't believe I chew popcorn any louder than anyone else, and I have certainly never been told so before.
This is a tough one because we've talked about mouth noises before, right. And I have an issue with them. Right. Chewing popcorn in a movie theater was pretty normal.
Yeah.
But you gotta keep your mouth closed.
Right.
And I'm guessing that you can only really hear it if the person's like, you know, like right. It was like a Doritos commercial.
And if it's a very like a talky movie.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of action going on. Yeah, not a lot of music.
Yeah, it's not a blockbuster.
Right. So that's maybe some kind of documentary or independent.
We've made it an independent film.
Yeah.
That's shown one time only in this town.
Yeah.
When I went to see a Broadway show with a friend a couple of weeks ago, and someone was rustling paper.
Oh, no.
And our entire section was getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And then one guy in front of me was like, I'm going to tell that guy that I'm going to kill him. Like, it got to that point because there was so much noise.
It's like when you're in this kind of social situation where everyone has to conform to a certain standard of behavior. When you're wearing your
quiet,
a movie theater, a play, whatever. There's certain actions that you must conform to. You're not in your living room.
You're not at home.
You're not at home.
I think people forget this. You're not at home in front of your big screen.
Yeah.
You know, this is a Broadway show. This is a movie theater. This guy was, I understand that you're, first of all, I was angry at the theater. Because I was like, why are you selling things wrapped up in like 20 layers of cellophane? But if you got to get something out, get it out between the acts or get it out when there's something going on.
Right.
Don't get it out in the love scene.
Yeah.
Start rustling. And he kept rustling and rustling and rustling to the point where I got nervous because I thought a couple people were going to jump on this guy. And this is like, these are like rich white people.
Oh, yeah.
Like in a movie.
This is the
like
rage.
In the theater.
This is the rage that develops because you are this, whoever the noisemaker is, they're ruining the experience
and
for
it's
everybody
bad
else.
Enough in a movie theater, but this was a live show.
Yeah.
So
oh my God.
Dude, everyone's hearing this shit. We, you know, we've all paid like $100. We didn't come here to hear you fuck around with cellophane.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There are actual Broadway actors. I forget who is the one. They tell people in the audience, they'll stop the show in the middle.
I would have stopped that show.
Say, and just tell people to get off their phones.
Yeah. I've seen that before. I've seen people's phones confiscated. But it's just like, if you don't have the awareness that cellophane is loud or that you're chewing too loud, there's another, you know, there's a problem.
Right.
Anyway, so let's hear what they
said. So the advice.
I think she went too far with her talking about, I only get out twice a year. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about
who
that.
You don't know what their situation is. Maybe they just had a death and they wanted to, like, get out. I don't know. Anyway, so let's hear.
So the advice is, gentle reader.
Gentle reader.
Well, Miss Manners is not in a position to weigh in on that. She does not agree, however, that if the offending noise were such that the couple could not enjoy the movie, they should have said something at the onset. Something as, excuse me, the popcorn seems to be unusually crunchy, and our seats are so close together. I wonder if you could mind chewing a little more quietly.
Really? In New York, cut the shit out. Stop it. Like, can you please chew like not an animal?
Yeah.
How, I mean, popcorn chewing isn't loud unless you have your mouth open, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm super sensitive to chew noises. And I'm like you, sometimes I'm eating popcorn in a movie theater, I'm like, this has got to end.
Yeah.
This has got to stop.
Yeah.
Like, I'll eat it during the sequence, during the action sequence.
I usually like to eat it during the previews.
Yeah, I get my fill.
Get your fill, and then maybe a couple of pieces during the movie. Like,
because otherwise, I want to watch the movie.
Right, yeah. But there was something, when people are violating these contracts and being disruptive. And this woman didn't know she was being disruptive.
Yeah. But then she followed up with them
in the lobby.
In the lobby, and they were like, we're done.
She was embarrassed. She was very much embarrassed, and she couldn't admit that she was so...
I'm sorry.
She didn't know.
And then moving on. Or I might have said, like, is it really that loud? You know, like, was it really loud? Because maybe you don't, you know, sometimes when you're doing stuff. And as we were talking about before the podcast started, it's so nice if someone could just say, look, your breath was stank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then be like, I didn't know. Yeah. Thank you. But you don't get that kind of, you know, these people should have said something before.
And they should have been nice about it. Just like, hey, look. You know, it's just really crunchy for some reason. And the movie's so low. Why don't you just...
just suck on it. Just put it in your mouth and let it melt.
And this is now me telling people how to behave.
Chew. After we said we attacked a man in the theater.
For talking too loudly.
For walking near us.
While talking.
Whatever, dude. He moved on. I think he saw that it wasn't going to get anywhere with it.
Yeah.
Pretty funny stuff, though. You should have said, remember this? That's what I should have yelled out. What? I said, hey, get out of here. Get out of here. We're in a movie theater. Get out of here.
That's right. You did say, get out of here.
Get out of here. That's my thing. It happened on the bus when we got into an argument. Somebody, get out of here. It's like, where's he going to go? I don't care.
Just get out of here. That's
out
what
of here.
You do.
All right.
Oh, funny.
I got the four R's.
What's the four R's? Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair.
209 West 40th Street. # Funk Life NYC.
That's pretty funny. I was like, yeah, I'm backing a friend up who's totally wrong. Totally in the wrong. Totally inappropriate.
I'm admitting this story.
It's hilarious. What do I got here? Do you have some barnyard news?
Oh, okay.
I like to report on animals, or we like to report on animals that are in the barnyard, some not in the barnyard. And this is from my favorite, Science Daily, which gives you really, like, light coverage of everything in science. They kind of, like, boil it down. So it says bumblebees use nicotine to fight off parasites. So I'm thinking of a bee having to smoke.
I'm thinking of the patch on the wing. It's like, oh.
It says bumblebees that have been infected by parasites seek out flowers with nicotine in the nectar. I didn't know that there were any flowers that had nicotine in them.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That's so weird.
And they say they think that bees are using it to fight off infection.
Oh.
So it's not like they're hooked on smokes. They're using the nicotine as a medicine.
All right. I didn't know.
It says that nicotine appears to slow the progression of a disease in infected bees, but it has a harmful effect when consumed by healthy bees. So you don't smoke if you're a bee, if you don't have an infection. If you have an infection, you have a couple smokes.
You're
it's okay.
Good. Okay.
I don't know how they found bees that weren't infected that were just getting on the nicotine anyway, and how they measured how long or short their lives are, because other things can happen in a bee's life.
Yeah.
right? Shit happens.
What flowers are these?
It doesn't say. It says researchers from Queen Mary University of London and other universities gave bumblebees the option. Sir? You can have the option of a sugar solution with nicotine and one without. Those bees who were infected with this parasite were more likely to go to the nicotine-laced nectar than those that weren't infected. So some went anyway.
Yeah.
I bet you some guys took a drink and were like, what the hell? Are you serious with this? Like, you're giving us free water and there's shit in it?
I'm worried now that, like, smokers are going to be like, we need to know what flowers these are. And these flowers are going to be now, like, expensive.
They're going to have to eat a lot of nectar. It said infected bumblebees consumed nicotine delayed the process of the infection for a few days, showing lower levels of parasites than those that had not. However, it did not increase the life expectancy. So it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you have this virus, you might as well smoke if you got them. Because you're going down.
Awesome.
It has negative effects. Apparently, it suppresses the appetite of the bees.
Yes.
So if you're a bee looking to lose a couple of pounds.
Right.
It also shows that they had shorter lifespans. Although, once again, I'm not even sure how they measured those. Like, I feel like having bees in these experiments already shortens their lifespans. They're probably freaked out. They're getting tricked into drinking smoke water, as opposed to regular water. Bees are not the only species known to use nicotine to fight parasites. House sparrows put cigarette butts in their nests to ward off mites.
Oh.
Is that... That's weird. That's
really good. Yeah. So they found that it...
So they pick up butts off the street, and then I guess they pick them apart.
How did they figure that out? They're just so clever.
They were probably doing it before with things that had nicotine, but they're like, we're finding these butts. A lot easier. Just sprinkle those around.
Wow. And how they communicate this with each other, and they made the association. They figured it out.
It says, everyone's researching bees right now, because they're dying out, like, en masse. So they're trying to figure out what it is. So, yeah, this is just like bee, little barnyard news. Bees like a smoke. We know bees like a drink.
Yeah, they do.
They're very close to getting a club.
Yes.
Very close with the cats.
So the cats and bees are going to take over with booze and cigarettes.
Drunk cats and bees that are hooked on the patch.
They're going to be the ones that take it to the animal kingdom.
Yes.
And start selling.
Yes. They're going to bring lung cancer and alcoholism and cirrhosis to the liver into the animal kingdom. So yeah, bees using nicotine to fight off parasites. Pretty cool.
So I've got listener mail.
Oh, awesome.
This is from your husband.
Oh, excellent. If you want to email us, you can do so at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and we will read it on the air, and thank you.
Yes. So thank you, Greg. And this one, we're going to file it under Quick Nap News.
Okay. Quick Nap News?
Yes. There is a new app out there that lets you book hotel rooms by the minute.
By the minute?
Yes.
That's desperate. What was wrong with the hour? That was not too much time.
Yes. They start out, the internet has spoiled us with on-demand everything.
I don't feel that spoiled.
From movies to food delivery.
That's not that many things.
To porn.
Okay. Because it was so hard to get porn before.
But now you can have on-demand luxury hotel rooms you can rent by the minute straight from your phone.
Okay.
So you
like
can
10 minutes?
So instead of figuring out which hotel will do this, you have the app that will tell you what hotels can do it, what's nearby you, and if you want it. So it's a San Francisco company by the name of Recharge.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, so you can have privacy anytime you want, from $40 an hour to about 67 cents a minute. You can book a room for as little or as long as you need to and do whatever you want to do.
$40 an hour? These hotels are making out like bandits. How much is a room for a whole day?
Yeah, right. It depends on the hotel. But how about this? If you you're in the city all day.
Okay.
And then you're doing your day things and you have a big night ahead of you. Mm-hmm. You can't go home.
I just want to do a quick shower.
You want to shower.
Recharge.
You want to just like maybe rest for...
Aha, recharge.
Yeah. Yeah, so shower up and...
Freshen up.
Take a little bit of a nap. Maybe a half hour nap.
Please leave a tip for the maid, whoever's staying in the place.
Because I was like, you have, if you're doing this by the minute, if you're doing like a half an hour or whatever you're doing.
20 minutes.
Right. And then the service has to come in.
Yeah.
I mean, is that really.
Is that fair?
Is it.
And what's the turnover?
Cost-conscious? Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I'm not going to be coming to a place where I'm like, there's a pube on the sink. It's like.
Yeah.
Someone was just here. Or worse.
Yes. No, but you could get in there if you weren't having a fling with somebody or whatever.
Well, those are the places that are, like, by the hour. Yeah. That's why I'm wondering. It's just by the minute thing. Like, how few minutes does a person need?
We want 45 minutes.
Okay. But you don't want to pay for the extra 15 minute and make it a whole hour?
Yeah.
You want to save that 67 cents times 15.
Yeah. So users can also use hotel amenities while checked in. So you could go to the pool.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So it's worth kind of checking out just to see what else you can use in the hotel.
Did you check to see what hotels are?
No.
I
didn't.
You didn't do a follow-up? I'm just curious. Is it like the Regis,
Yeah, I don't know. It's
really like a Days Inn. Depending on what part of the country you're in, $40 is like halfway to what the room might cost for the day.
Yeah, so depending on big cities. So probably, you wouldn't do this anywhere else, really.
That's true. You probably just keep it in your car.
Yeah.
Like, or you go home or whatever.
Right. There's somewhere to go. Or you just spring for the whole day.
Big fear with this, and not because this is where I always go with it. I think people are just going to run in there and beat off and run out.
Yeah. That's what they're going to do. Yeah.
Because I get you need a hotel for a few hours or half a day or whatever, but for 20 minutes, a half an hour, gentlemen.
Well, they said initially hotels were worried recharge would be like a Tinder add-on and turn hotel rooms into orgy pits.
Mm-hmm. But why would they care? That's kind of what happens in hotels anyway.
I know, right? Everybody like, has, really? Everyone has sex in hotel rooms.
Didn't we, like when we were kids, I was like when we were 18, 19, like around that age, we would get hotels and party in them.
Yeah. What do they think?
Where else can you go?
They did a trial run at the Park Central Hotel.
I'm going to go in there and read Shakespeare.
And they said, yeah.
and have discourse.
And they said the hotel found no evidence of hanky-panky in the rooms. I'm like,
wait, the sniff test? What's going on? Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It may have been that sex was really quiet and didn't leave a mess, but still no evidence.
They just did it in the shower and rinsed everything away and went about their business. You're not going to stop people from boning down in your hotel, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a lot of cultures, they have specifically hot sheet motels for that.
Yeah.
We've had, I think there was one like in Detroit and one in another place, and, you know, they shut them down. Like, people need that, though. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just want to have a quick poke.
Yeah.
It's just a room with a bed, people.
Right.
Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Right. So, anyway, so there's an app now that will help you find those deals.
That's interesting. I want to check it out and see, like, if it's really cool. Hotel, like high-end hotels, it could be cool for a couple of hours to get the room, use the pool.
Right.
Or if they have like a spa, sauna kind of thing, that could be interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you very much. So I have a little robot news here. Our freaky friends at Boston Dynamics are back with another horrifying robot animal hybrid thing called Spot Mini.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you saw this. I'm reading the article. It says it's a creepy creation. It's one of the smallest animal-inspired robots. It's strange, though, because it has that, the quadruped. Mm-hmm. It looks like the pack mule that they had way back when. Okay. It just looks like a carcass with no head. Right. It's got four legs. Now they have put a gooseneck on it, and at the end of the gooseneck is like a raptor head.
Oh, my God.
And it is so creepy. It's like a long, like, bendy gooseneck. That looks like it's like
an 5 feet
long. Like but more, I'm saying goose.
More serpentine.
Yeah, more serpentine. Oh. Exactly. And at the end of it is like a velociraptor's head.
Oh.
So.
Is it supposed to look like a pet?
You know they're freaks over there. I don't know what they want it to look. So I'm looking at this thing, and they have it in a fake house, and it's in their office. So they have these two chode-looking dudes sitting at their, the chode tech guy sitting at their desk, pretending like they don't see this creepy fucking thing coming by. It walks very gingerly. They threw down banana peels. It slipped on it, but then righted itself. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? If you want to show people how something can fall down, you know, banana peels.
They did
like
that.
A dozen. Yeah. A dozen banana peels. Auga. So it shows that it can.
Who slips on a banana peel?
Right. This is what I'm saying. If the thing is intelligent, it would surely walk around with looks like 2-3 dozen banana peels. Why would you even go near that? Like, is that how we're going to get over robots in the future? Like, Skynet's going to happen. It's going to be the Terminator. But no problem, Katie. I've got a banana peel.
Yeah, we're going to be in our bunkers underground, quickly eating the bananas and stockpiling them.
Throwing them out.
The peel.
And then something's going to happen. They're going to stop us from making bananas. We're going to have to make synthetic bananas.
Yeah.
You know, or hide bananas and make it look like a tile.
Right.
So I looked at the video of this thing. It is creepy because, first of all, the movement is getting smoother and smoother, but you can always tell that it's not an animal's movement. There's something a little off about it. It can also crouch down really low and crawl under your desk, which is something I don't ever want to deal with. They show it recycling. So the Spot Mini goes over to a fake kitchen, and then it uses its creepy serpentine gooseneck with the raptor on the end of it to take a stemless wine glass out and put it in a drying rack. Then it also picks up a can and recycles it. But it's creepy, because at the end of the day, you know they're just going to strap, like, guns and knives and lasers on that thing.
And then they're also going to put that fake skin on it.
Ooh!
So it's going to be like a skin. It's going to have a human head and have that kind of...
Yes! A creepy skin! So the thing about it is, once again, so it's Google. I think Google has either sold it, or it's in the process of selling it still, because this came out June 23rd. But the PR company that was supposed to be working with Boston Dynamics was like, yo, we can't put this out.
Yeah.
Like, the video was released. So it's like they keep releasing these videos without going through the official channels. And the videos are freaky.
Yeah.
Because freaky.
They're scaring
people. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Google and the PR company was like, I don't know, man. Like, you can't keep showing this stuff to people. It looks really, really creepy. I mean, it's just so... Boston Dynamics is creepy. I'm not the only one who's creeped out by them. I mean, they creeped out Google.
Yeah.
They creeped out their own PR company, Alphabet PR. It's really
scary. They can't
scary.
Even think of anything to...
They can't... There's nothing you can... It's just like if you are, you know, a crazy looking monster, you're like, no, I'm going to wear a hat. It'll be fine. Everyone else is wearing hats. It's like, no. Now you're a creepy, crazy looking monster wearing...
But they're so engrossed in what they're doing, they don't even realize what it really looks like
anymore. I don't know if they let these people out. Like, it looked like they have, like, a fake environment built inside. Maybe these Boston Dynamics guys don't get out. Maybe it's like the Truman Show.
The thing is... No. I think that if you're engrossed in this stuff and you're trying to work on the problems, you just kind of forget how everything looks. And you're like, no, but look, we got this certain kind of movement.
Evolution has taught us to be afraid. Like they're taking, like we always talk about, the most horrible parts of animals. The neck looks like a snake.
Yeah.
Everything that moves is afraid of snakes.
Yeah.
The head looks like a raptor. Everything that moves is afraid of raptors.
Yes.
Like, if you showed this thing to, like, a monkey, they'd be like, you know what, peace out.
Yeah.
You know, like, really? Like, we're not ready. Like, animals not would run from this.
Yeah.
Maybe not dogs. Cats would probably be like, whatever. I'm going to sit on it.
And drink a glass of catnip wine.
Drink a glass of wine and just chill.
Yeah. Because you guys are fools.
Cats are going to start using those.
Yes.
To achieve their godlike status. Anyway, so yeah, that's my robot news. Creepy. Everybody go online, Google this video, Spot Mini. It's really scary. Yeah. And the worst part is when they have the banana peels.
And who did we get that from?
That came from one of our Twitter friends.
Yeah, so thank Twitter you. Friends.
Yeah, thank you for sending that in. We are sufficiently creeped out.
Yes.
We are creeped out. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Scariest thing in the video are the two dudes that work for Boston Dynamics. They are the monsters in video. They are so creepy looking.
Are you sure you want to keep saying this about them and put this out there?
I'm going to wake up with like a robot goose raptor in my apartment.
You're going to get an email from me or a text like, hey, show up to record Hey You Know It.
Meet me.
And then there'll be a robot me.
Oh, no.
And then, like, I'll pull my own face off.
Will you rip off your human skin? Skin?
Yeah. And be like, hello. Or something will happen to you at
that
point.
It's so creepy. Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Starring Katie Kazmaier as Liam Neeson, as Spot Minnie in Uncanny Valley.